text for today is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 15th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. Then Jesus said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Four of the top United States cities with the greatest reputation for immorality, ungodliness, and hedonistic lifestyles, if you want to jot these down, are Provincetown, Massachusetts, which is way out on the tip of Cape Cod; Key West, Florida, which is way out on the tip of the Florida Keys; San Francisco, California, which is on the far northern edge of the tip of a peninsula on the western edge of the United States; and Las Vegas, Nevada, which is way out in the middle of the desert, rather remote, at one time far away from anything else. All of these spots, known for having reputations, you might say, for being the most immoral places in our country, all of these spots are very far removed, are very remote from the judging eye of society and from people. Sin loves to be free from oversight. It loves to gravitate away from anything that will judge it. Immorality gravitates toward freedom. We see that in this young man. This young man in our Lord's story wants to be free from his father's control. He wants to shake off his father's oversight of his life. He doesn't like the idea that God, this is a picture of us, of course, is watching over him. His independence is the most important thing that he wants. And staying under his dad's oversight and control and living on his father's estate and by his father's rules is just too confining and it's too boring. I want to be my own master. Nobody's going to rule over me with their commands. And that sentiment taps a nerve in my heart, probably in yours too. There's something in us that says, I don't want somebody to control me. I don't want God to control me. I don't want him to be sitting and judging me. I want to be free from that and get away from that. Now, unlike the young man in the story, where this happens very visibly, that he just takes and moves off to another country, this same activity can happen in the heart of Christians who outwardly profess Christ and belong to him, but maybe secretly, privately, inwardly, find themselves wandering away from God, far, far away to a foreign land, to a remote place where God really doesn't have any oversight over us anymore, or so we think. Now, there's a period of time in this young man's life, in the story, When this moving away to freedom, away from his father, seems to benefit him. And that's how it is with us in our sin, going after the worldly pleasures of this life. There's a period in time when it benefits us. There's a period in time when it seems like this is in our favor, to become godless and to live for the pleasures of this world, to free ourselves from the control of God and from his commands and from all of this stuff about the church and judgment and morality, to get ourselves away from that seems to give us and benefit us so many great things. And there is a moment when our hearts say in the middle of it, now this is living. This is really life. This young man attempts to fill the void in his life with all of the garbage that the world offers, but it finally leaves him empty, broke, penniless, and alone. And that's really what sin does for us, doesn't it? Ironically, he left looking for freedom, but he ended up in bondage. And that's sin's great lure to us. That's the world and the materialism of this world and the pleasures of this world. That is the great lure that it has for all of us. It seems to offer us freedom. And for a while it gives us that. But in the end, it puts us back in chains. The one time in my life I can remember feeding pigs, it was not a pretty sight. I was about 10 or 11 years old on a friend's farm, and was told to take a pail of feed out to some pigs. And before I could get it to the trough, they mobbed me and knocked me over in the mud, trampled me. It was not a pretty sight. What a picture our Lord gives of this young man and the condition he finally ends up in, this prodigal son. He finally considers battling pigs for their food. Could Jesus, to a Jewish person who thought of pigs as unclean animals, to a Jewish person and a Jewish audience, could Jesus have come up with a more desperate condition in the end for this man? But in his despair, this young man has a change of heart. He starts looking at his condition. He starts realizing where he's at. And he reconsiders the bad decision he had made now to try to get away from the oversight of his father. And he tries to picture in his own mind how his dad will respond to him. Now, this is a crucial point in the story for every one of us. When you and I have wandered away from God with our hearts to the farthest, most remote corner away from him, and we finally realize where our sin has taken us, and we finally realize our desperate condition, it is very important how we imagine God in our minds and in our hearts. It is very important that we remember him as a God of mercy. This young man turns to go back to his father, hoping that at least his father will have enough compassion on him to hire him as one of his hired hands. But what a surprise he gets on the road. What a wonderful image we have from our Lord in this parable. The compassionate father has been standing and looking out on the road for the longest time. He has just been waiting for this moment, and he sees his son coming. We maybe wouldn't have been surprised if in the story the father expresses a little bit of resentment, a little bit of anger, a little bit of just frustration toward his son and his son's actions. But what do we see? Nothing but compassion. Nothing but mercy. Nothing but grace and forgiveness. How many parents are there who have had an actual wayward child that has just wandered off into the world and kind of forsaken their family? Go talk to those moms and dads and find out what it's like for them, how there's something eating their hearts for that child, waiting for them to come back. If that's how powerful that love can be in sinful, immoral parents like us, just think how perfect that love must be in the heart of God, that magnetic love that wants his children to come back home, that wants to call them back in repentance and faith. Notice as the son reaches the father, before he can talk, before he expresses his repentance, the father knows it and immediately pours out his love to this son. There's no mention of the son's transgression. There is nothing brought up and thrown in his face about, you shouldn't have done this, I told you so. You don't hear any of that. You don't hear the father say, so where have you been all this time? There's nothing but pure, welcoming compassion, mercy, and forgiveness. And this here is where the cross fits into this story. Because it's through the blood of Christ shed for each one of us that our Heavenly Father has had his heart turned to look for penitent sinners and to want nothing but to fall on them with his mercy. And when the penitent child returns, his restoration into God's kingdom and estate is full and complete. The full measure of being God's son is granted him immediately. And his position in the Father's eyes is just as high and significant as it ever was before he asked for his inheritance. Today, through my sinful mouth, the Lord of heaven, your Father, calls on your heart to come back home. The angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who repents. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we beseech you so to guide and direct us by your Holy Spirit that we may not forget our sins and be filled with pride, but continue in daily repentance and renewal, seeking comfort only in the blessed knowledge that you will be merciful to us, forgive us our sins, and grant us eternal life. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.